800-760-KFMB. It is the Brett Winterville Show, AM760. Talk and breaking news. You hear this said from time to time by people. We're in the middle of a cold civil war in this country. We've never been this divided. We've never been more divided. The union is going to be torn asunder here. Well, I thought I'd get a little bit of historical perspective from one of my favorite guests. It's Father Bill Nicholas from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. He and I are chummy. We are close. We are friendly. And I just so happen to know, Father Bill, that you recently made a trip to a number of the Civil War sites and wanted to get your sense of the spirit of America and the spirit in America then and the spirit in America today. And let's talk a little bit about this cold Civil War. Are we there?
I'm not exactly sure, and it's good to be with you again, Brett. And just for clarification, the sites were from the Civil War 150 years ago, not the Cold Civil War now.
Right.
And it's a trip I've always wanted to take because I've always enjoyed the Civil War history. And so this trip, I took about 2 weeks of a road trip, mainly through Virginia, and the Overland Campaign between Grant and Lee, the Siege of Petersburg. I was at Appomattox Courthouse. I stood in the room where Lee surrendered to Grant. Spent a couple of days in Lexington, Virginia, where I visited the Virginia Military Institute, where Stonewall Jackson had taught, visited his home, saw where he was buried, visited where Robert E. Lee is buried, but began the trip visiting Antietam, which is known as the bloodiest day of the war, and Gettysburg, the bloodiest battle, I think, on North America, in North American history. And Gettysburg was really something to see. But in the midst of all that, between Gettysburg and a couple of days at Annapolis, I stopped off at Fort McHenry, which was a site from the War of 1812, where the national anthem was inspired, and Monticello in Virginia, as I was traveling from Lexington to Fredericksburg. And so the whole, really lends a lot of perspective where you're standing on these sites where these battles took place, where there was such bloodshed. I mean, thousands upon thousands of soldiers gave their lives to fight for ideals on both sides. And when you really think about that with what's going on today and the different socio-political differences we have, I mean, for example, one thing you hear a lot of, especially during the last presidential administration, is the desire to, quote, fundamentally transform America.
Right. That is a huge, huge hook. Yes.
Yeah. And it's interesting where when they meet it today, in many ways it involves downplaying or disregarding the founding.
Correct.
Because of the faults that, of course, are undeniable, the faults of the nation at the time, namely that the nation was founded with, not on slavery, but it was founded with slavery still intact. Whereas at that time, President Lincoln, his government, and all those who fought in the war, while they were fighting initially to bring the seceded states back in the Union, they realized they had to have a whole new perspective on what this war was about, that if this nation was going to survive intact, it had to be fundamentally transformed. But it was not a fundamental transformation that involved disregarding our nation's founding, but actually honing in on it and making it more particular. And in particular, even the Constitution was changed. Three amendments were passed, 13th, 14th, and 15th, to outlaw slavery, guarantee due process for everybody, and the right to vote. And so it wasn't a matter of, well, we have slavery, so we should disregard the founding of our nation, but rather, not only did they focus on transforming it completely transformed the South, and that transformation did affect also the North, but they looked not just to the Constitution, but to the founder document of the Declaration, and in particular, the notion all men are created equal, and they're endowed with certain rights, one of which is liberty.
Right.
And they made it more particular to all people in this country, and in so doing, fundamentally transform the nation. And you see just these sites where this conflict in our nation that did transform America take place.
So when you go to these sites, right, I've been to a couple of Civil War battlefields. I've been to Chickamauga, and I've also been to My gosh, I'm drawing.
I'd love to visit Chattanooga someday.
Chattanooga, that's the other battlefield that I went to. I went to Chattanooga, right above Moccasin Bend, and looked at that battle that took place on Lookout Mountain, which is just this massively steep mountain, right, where you're watching these guys, these guys hauling cannons and wearing, and it was in the summer, and they're wearing wool uniforms. I mean, it's just brutality at its worst. Mm-hmm. But when you go to these sites, whether it's Appomattox, when you're in that room at Appomattox, or when you're at Gettysburg or at Antietam, do you feel the secular sort of sacredness of the place, or just the sacredness in general of it, because of so much sacrifice being represented in the Appomattox courthouse, but then mm-hmm. also where so much blood was shed on both sides at Antietam and at Gettysburg? Do you feel it spiritually when you're standing there at that place?
Well, in many ways, for me at least, it brings me out of the world we're in today.
Right.
And you listen to what people talk about today. And with all due regard and complete respect for my grandparents' generation, those who went through the Great Depression and World War II, I'm looking, in these places where great events such as Chamberlain's Charge down Little Round Top,
right,
the 20th Maine, which is one event that many say saved the Battle of Gettysburg and for the Union in save the war for the Union, that one event that Chamberlain eventually won the Congressional Medal of Honor for, and the room where Lee surrendered to Grant, mm-hmm. I couldn't help thinking to myself, that was the greatest generation.
Yeah.
Because that's the generation that went through this, that made the country what it is today. Everything that came before led to this because slavery was a part of the Southern economy and way of life, and everything that came after is because of it. And, when you think it's been 153 years mm-hmm. since Lee surrendered to Grant, that's over two-thirds of our nation's history
right.
that's been without slavery since the Constitution. Only one-third was with slavery. Two-thirds are without. And some people forget that. And we're still apologizing for it, as perhaps we should, mm-hmm. but never forget that, yes, while we were a nation that was founded with slavery intact, we are also a nation that has spent the majority of our history without it, because we are also a nation that abolished it.
And that to me is so interesting, especially against the backdrop of the Civil War taking place in the mid-1800s, and understanding that to a large measure, it really, in some ways, was the second Civil War fought, because the first was really the Revolution was in some ways a Civil War as well. You had Americans against Americans. You had people who were loyalists, who were loyal to the crown, against mm-hmm. the patriots who took them on. And so much of the unresolved stuff from that first war gets becomes the fodder for that second war. And I think it's a high tribute to us as a country that we have not gone back in that 153-year internecine period, and gone back to fighting that way. We understand that the political process is mature enough that we can pretty much handle anything before going to gunfire.
It's true, and even today we're there are groups that continue to want to push our nation toward a greater fidelity to our founding principles, even as there are those who want to disregard it. For example, you look at the pro-life movement, mm-hmm. like the abolitionist movement. At its heart, it's a Christian, it's a religious movement that emphasizes the value of all human beings, including those who are enslaved. The pro-life movement talks about the value of all human beings, including those who are unborn, and where the abolitionist movement focused on really living the right to liberty, the pro-life movement is focusing on what we read in the Declaration of Independence, that all are endowed with the right to life. And just as during the Civil War, they said, look, if there are some people who are slaves, are any of us truly free? People are asking those questions today. If there are people whose lives we can just blatantly disregard, mm-hmm. are any of our lives to be considered sacred? And the country continues to grapple with those kind of questions because of the principles on which this nation was founded. The big difference is there are those who perhaps think it would be best to disregard the founding, and those who say, no, let's be more faithful to it. Let's concentrate on those values and how they can be brought to everyone in this country.
Visiting with Father Bill Nicholas out of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, we're talking about obviously the claims by some that we're in a cold civil war, and taking a page from the actual civil war 153 plus years ago. Can I hold you over one more segment, or do you have an obligation that you have to meet?
Oh no, not at all. I'm here for you.
Because here's the question I want to ask you. You went to Monticello. And Monticello, for people who don't know, that was Thomas Jefferson's plantation. That was where he was Thomas Jefferson, right? Okay. And in many ways, he almost straddles both of the periods, right? The Revolution and the American Civil War, because of the issues that had to be resolved. And I wanted to get your impression and any insight you got into the man by going to Monticello and actually seeing it. So stick around for me, and we're going to come right back. Is that okay?
Oh, looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Okay, Father Bill Nicholas is going to stay there. We're going to continue the conversation straight ahead. Brett Winterbull Show, AM760, talking breaking news. Continuing and concluding our conversation with Father Bill Nicholas from the Archdiocese of L.A. So when we went to break, I said you traveled to Monticello, a very important place for Thomas Jefferson, and he's sort of a presence that straddles the two big wars in American history, right? The American Revolution and the Civil War. He's an omnipresent sort of a figure. Anything strike you about the place?
It is a very striking place. It's a very beautiful place at the top of a mountain, and that's what it means, beautiful mountain. And he has really a great view of the territory all around him. And so he wanted that high place. He wanted to be isolated, but it was a very special place for him. And there were lots of tourists that day, especially from schools, being taken around to show the various aspects of Monticello. And Thomas Jefferson is actually also buried there, just a few hundred yards away from the building itself, and I was able to go and visit his grave. I had been to Monticello once before, but had not visited the burial site of Thomas Jefferson. So for me, I'm an admirer of his life and his work, and I read a couple of books about him, and was really enjoyed being able to take some time in that day's driving to stop in at Monticello and walk around for a couple hours.
And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Stonewall Jackson experience.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we're talking about Thomas Jefferson, and very much Thomas Jefferson is a man of tremendous contradictions, because I've learned that he personally was very uncomfortable with slavery and the idea of slavery in a nation that he just founded on certain principles. And even he realized they were not compatible. Slavery was not compatible with what the principles on which this country was founded. And as governor of Virginia, he actually tried to push legislation through the state legislature to abolish slavery in Virginia, although it didn't pass. However, Thomas Jefferson had no problem benefiting from the institution of slavery,
right,
in maintaining his life and his plantation. In the same way, anyone who knows anything about Thomas, also known as Stonewall Jackson, a great general during the Civil War, Southern general, and almost a ruthless general. He was very formidable in his Shenandoah Valley campaign, and he was at Antietam. He was killed at Chancellorsville, shot by his own men. He died of pneumonia about a week later. And he, too, was a very staunch Southerner. He loathed the Yankees and a very ardent supporter of secession, and also believed in slavery. He was a very religious man, a religious Christian, but his interpretation of what he read in the Bible justified slavery. But at the same time, he believed in the Christian virtue of kindness, very deeply so. And I learned just visiting his house, the tour guide was telling us that he had three slaves, a mother and her two sons. And, you know, the two sons would be picking the crops that he had to maintain his living. And he would be out there picking the crops with the two men. And then in processing them, the slave who was the mother of those two boys, or young men, I guess, she'd be in the kitchen processing. He'd be there doing it with her. And so he did the work with them. And it's almost like, you know, the true Protestant ethic of work, and he'd do the work with his slaves. And even in his local church, I learned that he started a Bible study, a scripture study for slaves and freed slaves, which was very controversial in his day, because, you know, they weren't sure at that time it was a good idea to teach slaves to read, because that would be very empowering of them. And so, like Thomas Jefferson, Stonewall Jackson was a man of tremendous contradictions, and I'm looking forward to reading more on him as a figure in history and that particular time in history. And so in some ways, it kind of reflects even our own nation's history, founded on certain principles. Even though we had slavery,
right,
we overcame those at that time, and there may be other things we have yet to grapple with or hone in better in terms of the values on which our nation was founded. But I suppose all human beings, one way or another, are people of contradictions, and that really reflects also our nation, and we're a nation that recognizes our faults and really tries to overcome them.
The ability to repent and to redeem is pretty powerful. It's a remarkable thing. Father Bill Nicholas, so great to have you join us here. Father Bill Nicholas is with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and always love catching up with you. Thank you so much for coming by and giving a great perspective on this so-called Cold Civil War. We appreciate you so much.
Thanks for having me, Brett. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Father. That's Father Bill Nicholas checking in. That is, I think, the most important thing that people forget about, and that is that we have a way to redeem the promises of this country, and we have a way every single day as individuals, as people in this country, and every single day as people on this planet. It's a fresh start. You can change. Nothing is put in concrete. We got to remember that.